Praise the Lord. As you're praying, just continue to pray and just say, decree in your hearts and say, Lord, I will not live here without a word. Within your spirit, within your mind, say, Lord, speak to me today. There's no reason I'll come to church and I'll not meet you. Whatever it is that's going to stop me from hearing the word of God, Lord, I remove it now in the mighty name of Jesus. Just commit me also into God's hands, even as I speak. Let it be what God wants his children to hear. Let it be the word from above, not my own words. Take the glory, Father, Lord. Take the adoration. Father, Lord, as we enter this moment of hearing from you, let your presence come down and let your will be done. Thank you, Father, for in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Hallelujah. We're looking a little bit tired for a Friday morning. So I think greet three people that are not sitting next to, and then you may have your seat. God bless you. Not sitting next to, so you have to move around. I want people to move around. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, sister. Praise the Lord, sister. Praise the Lord. Wonderful praise and worship. God bless you. Hallelujah. You may have your seats. Hallelujah. So after service also, I know some people will just rush out because of the heat, but at least we'll have greeted one or two here. Hallelujah. Excellent. It's good to be back and to be able to have a privilege to share the word with you once again. And I've been thinking throughout the holiday what God wants me to speak, and God has been developing the message that I want to deliver today. I believe all of us here are either here on employment, isn't it, or contract. And your contract gets to a term that is going to be ended, isn't it? And sometimes they'll give you notice. 1 month, some people, 3 months, isn't it? Some people, it's funny, you give them 1 month, they give you 3 months, isn't it? Okay? And then after that, the contract finishes, isn't it? And then sometimes your contract might be terminated immediately. Maybe for some misdemeanor, they'll ask you to leave, isn't it? Am I correct? Praise the Lord. Have you been there? Or is it only me? I know when I left my company, at least they were gracious. They gave us 1 year notice and said, hey, your contract will not be renewed, you know? And so you knew. So after that time, once you know that, what happens? The countdown starts, isn't it? You don't wait. Your countdown starts. As you're approaching the day, sometimes you're dreading it, but you're doing several things, isn't it? And some of the things that you're doing, what is you're reducing your luggage, isn't it? Someone came in with one suitcase and now you have a whole house of items. But then as the time comes down, your days are being numbered, isn't it? All right, am I correct? And it's normal. We just have to be ready for it. Okay? And so my message is, our days are numbered. Praise the Lord. Our days are numbered. Okay? Sometimes some people have had very difficult bosses and they'll tell you, your days are numbered in this company. And then you either take them seriously or you take them as a joke, isn't it? And that is what we're talking about. So please open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 24 as Jonah reads. I want all of us to open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 24, verse 1. But I'll ask Jonah to read from verse 1. Go ahead, Jonah. Just read from 1 to 31. I want us to get the full story in context. Okay? Everybody, please open your Bibles and follow as Jonah reads. Jonah, please.
Matthew 24, verses 1 to 31. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, "When will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulations and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is in the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house, and let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There,' do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, 'Look, he is in the desert,' do not go out, or 'Look, he is in the inner rooms,' do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulations of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other."
Praise the Lord. It's a long read, but I wanted us to be able to understand what was happening. Now, the context was Jesus was sitting at the Mount of Olives, and he was overlooking the temple. Now, the temple then was one massive edifice, beautiful edifice. If you want to look at it, maybe you'll compare it to maybe Taj Mahal now, isn't it? And if you want to look at it in Oman, if you're going to Sultan Qaboos Mosque, you'll see how magnificent it is. Now, that was what the temple was in those days, and it was the center of worship in those days. And Jesus was looking into it, and he was telling the disciples that this temple will be destroyed. Not one stone will be left there. Now imagine them thinking, this beautiful edifice is going to be destroyed. Now, one of the things you can also find that along the line, people raid the Israelites. They'll come over, take it, and the temple was never really destroyed at that particular point in time. Up to the extent that the whole thing will be shattered, the whole thing will be removed. There will not be one stone on top of the other. So that was something new. Now, in verse 15 of that, He said, the abomination of the desolation. Now, that was talking about what Daniel prophesied then. And Jesus was talking about this. And now, people say maybe there's a three phase into this abomination of the desolation. Okay? In 163 BC, there was Antiochus, who desecrated the temple at that particular point in time. Now, then you had a kingdom, the Seleucid kingdom, which took over the whole of Persia. It was a Greek empire. They covered the whole of Persia, Rome, everything. They were in charge at that particular time. And Antiochus was the king. He absorbed the power from his nephew. Okay? And in Jerusalem, they allowed them to worship their own God under the high priest. At that time, you had Jason, who was the high priest. And Jason being the high priest at that particular time, somebody else came. Melanias came in, offered a bribe to Antiochus, and Jason was removed, and Melanias became the high priest. Okay? Now, this was before Jesus' time, okay? BC. Now, when he became the high priest, Antiochus went to fight in Egypt. And there was a rumor that he died. Okay? When there was a rumor that he died, Jason came back and took over to be priest. So it's not the first time people started fighting in church for position. This has been happening since, isn't it? So he took over. And when he took over, unfortunately for him, Antiochus was not dead. So he came back with an anger that the person that he has been there, there's been a revolt, and Jason took back. And believe me, when he came there, he slaughtered everybody that was in Jerusalem. Are you with me? That was the first abomination. In one night, 80,000 people were killed. Women, children, infants, everybody was killed at that particular point in time for him to bring back who he wanted to be the high priest. At that time, one of the things that people could not eat was pigs, isn't it? Based on the Old Testament requirement. What did he do? He slaughtered pigs on the altar. That was the abomination. He took the broth from the swines and placed it on all the scrolls that was there. That was the first abomination. He brought the worship of Zeus into the temple of God. Now, fast forward, Jesus came. And Jesus mentioned, but the temple was there. So they were wondering, is this before or now? Now, the second one that we're talking about, this temple, this was about 30 AD. Am I correct? Now, the one he's talking about was 70 AD, after he had gone. That was the second abomination. Okay? The Jews rebelled. And they sent, now the Romans were in charge. Don't forget, governments keep on changing, isn't it? You had the Greeks, now you have the Romans. The Romans were in charge. And the Romans sent Vespasian, I think. The way to pronounce it is Vespasian. They sent him to go and crush the rebellion. Am I correct? And when he came, he got tracked out for another war. Okay? And Nero died. Nero was empire then. Nero died, and he had to go back and assume leadership. So he sent Titus. Now, that was the second time Titus came in. And he came and destroyed the temple. The same thing Antiochus did, Titus also did. They came and they put Jerusalem under siege. They squeezed everybody out. People were crying for food. Thousands were killed. The ones that were not killed, thousands were sent to mines in Egypt. A few were sent to Rome to fight as the gladiators. Have you heard about the gladiators, isn't it? They were sent there. And what happened? They burned the whole temple aground. Now, the Jews at that time, some of them that had gold that you wanted to be taken, they molted it and put it in the mortars that was in between the buildings. But the Romans found out. So they destroyed the whole building to be able to remove all those precious metals that were there, and they shipped it back to Rome. To fulfill what God has said, that no stone will be on top of another stone. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? I'm just taking you somewhere. So if you're going to destroy this building, you might leave the foundation, isn't it? But if someone kept something, you'll break it apart to be able to take what is inside there. And that is what the Romans did. Hallelujah. And since that temple was destroyed, it has not been rebuilt. Now, what do we have there? You have the golden dome that is there, and the mosque Al-Aqsa that is there. Al-Aqsa, I'm not able to pronounce it. But that's what's there. Nothing has been rebuilt in that place. Are you with me? It has remained desolate. Hallelujah. It's sad, but it's key. Everything that I see is happening, God has said it. Now, the third abomination is when the Antichrist will come and you put a golden image there that people will worship. That is going to be in the future. I don't know whether a temple will be built or whether it will not be built, but that's going to be in the future. And that's what they were prophesying. Now, why am I giving this background? If Jesus can prophesy in 30 AD what will happen in 70 AD, then I think we should be able to hold his words true. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just as he said it, it happened. So further from the temple, he started talking about the end times. And that is what we're going to focus on. Because what God said concerning the temple, if it's true, then what he's going to say concerning the end times will also be true. Are you with me? Church, are you with me? So we're going to go into it. Some people call it eschatology, which is the study of the last things, the part of the theology concerned with death, judgment, and the final destiny of the soul of humankind. That's the end part. That's the study. Some people spend a lot of time studying it. I'm not going to dwell so much. I'll just give an overview. But your own time, you want to go and study it. Now, there are certain four views in eschatology. There are four views. And I just want us to enlighten. I think we had some series some time back in Revelations with Pastor Leslie, isn't it, in the castle? But I'll just refresh your memories inside that. The first one, we had the historical pre-millennialism. Okay? The historical one and millennium, we know there's 1,000 years, and I'll explain that later on. That's number one. Number two, we have the dispensational pre-millennialism. The third, we have the amillennialism. Okay? And the fifth is the post-millennialism. Those are the four different doctrines that we have generally that are available. Okay? So I'll try to explain them in the next diagram. Sister, can you just go to the next diagram? Okay, the historic one is what has been there, and it turned out to these three. Now, if we look at the dispensational pre-millennialism, rapture will occur before the second coming of Jesus Christ. When was his first coming? When he came and died on the cross, isn't it? And the second coming, he's going to come back. Are we together? Christians will remain on earth during tribulation. If you're not taken, you'll be here during the tribulation. And it says it's going to be for 7 years. Are you with me? Together, okay? And when Jesus comes back the second time, there'll be 1,000 years of his rule before the final judgment. Okay? Now, in this doctrine, the nation Israel is very sacrosanct. It's part of this doctrine. Nothing has changed. Okay? Now, based on that, we're in the church age right now. Because rapture has not occurred. If rapture occurred, then I think all of us will be crying. Because we've been in tribulation, isn't it? So rapture has not come. We're in the church age. Okay? Now, you move on to the amillennialism, okay? What happens now one is, people believe that the millennium has already started and is the believer's reign of Jesus Christ in our lives, isn't it? So it means the 1,000 years, the church age, okay, and the tribulation are all occurring now in 1,000 years. That is what they believe. That's what that doctrine believes. Everything is come. The second coming of Jesus will be the final one. There's no rapture inside there. And now the church has replaced, the nation of Israel. So when you're talking of God's own, you're talking of the church at large, not the nation of Israel. Church, are we together? All right? Now, in the post-millennialism, okay, Jesus will come after the 1,000 years. Okay? It's not like the dispensation, but he'll come after the 1,000 years. The 1,000 years will be when peace reigns on earth and the gospel is preached to every nation. So the final judgment and the coming of Christ is combined together. Okay? And the church also replaces the nation of Israel in this doctrine. Now, which one would you think that most people go for? Most people are thinking the dispensational one is what is going to happen. So my discussion is going to be based on the dispensational one. Okay? And because I want to take you somewhere based on that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? Can we go to the next slide? So this is it. I've just put it in a different form. We have creation. Then we have the covenants that God gave. Then we have the timeline of Daniel when he spoke about Jesus being born and even the abomination of the desolation. Then we had when Jesus came down. He died for our sins. And that's the church age we're in. Now, we're in that church age. Rapture is next. Then the 7 years tribulation. Then the return of Christ. Then we have the millennium reign of 1,000 years. Then we have the great white throne judgment and the final part. Are you together? So that's where we are. And that is the point where we are. And God has already spoken into what is going to happen in those parts. Now, us as human beings, if the Lord does not tarry, you have to go through all of that. Unless you die, and if you die, then you'll be with him. Are we together? If you're born again, that is. Am I making sense? So we're seeing the sequence where everything is, and we can see where we are currently. And it was based on this that God was speaking about the future. And he started giving signs of the end times. Being the church to the end, when the end times already. Because the Bible says no man knows when he will return. Isn't it? So I believe, honestly within myself, we're in the end times. Now, let's look at the signs that Jesus Christ gave us. Based on that passage, the first thing he said, there will be false prophets. What is a false prophet? Anyone that preaches any doctrine contrary to the word of God. Deception, isn't it? I might be teaching here, I make a mistake, but I'm not positively trying to deceive you. But there are people that will come, they want to deceive. There's deception. They will tell you, I'm the Christ. We have the Guyana tragedy. We have the Waco Ranch. Continue naming them. So many people that are false prophets. So many people that will come and assure you this is the gateway to heaven. Do we have them in our midst now? We do. You have people that will come and say, oh, I'm anointed for God. Some will say, I've met God. Different things. I've heard so many ridiculous things. All intertwined into the word of God. That when they sell it to you, you believe. Now, most of those four prophets, some of them are not outside. Some of them are in the church. So that's why you need to have a discerning spirit. You need to be filled with the Spirit of God. That's number one sign. Second sign is there will be wars and rumors of war. Before I went for leave, there was the one that Israel was bombing Iran, isn't it? And then Iran started bombing Qatar, and we're watching it live on TV. In fact, some people in Qatar were sending us pictures of missiles that were falling down on. And what someone defines war? The United Nations just defines it at any major issue of war that more than 1,000 people have died. Now, currently, what's happened in Palestine and Israel, more than 1,000 have died. Even with the one in Iran, more have died. Ukraine, Russia, we cannot even count them. The small one between Pakistan and India, people died. We have Cambodia and Thailand, isn't it? I can continue naming. Congo, it's happening, isn't it? Wars are happening right now. There are rumors that somebody will say, oh, I'll fight again, isn't it? Russia will treat UK. UK will say, okay, we're waiting for you. Taiwan and China, it's happening. During the Qatar and Iran one, people were shouting, let's leave, let's leave, let's leave. I said, leave to go where? I'm in one, I'm not going anywhere. People were calling me, is this safe here? I said, I'm here where I am. There's nowhere to go to. We least start running around because of what's happening around. I'll hold on to the word of God. I'll be smart, but I'll hold on to the word of God. If needed to be evacuated, you'll be evacuated. Nations will rise against nations. Kingdoms against kingdoms. Nations are boundaries, isn't it? But I look into nations and kingdoms even down to families. Brother will rise against brother, sister against brother, relatives against relatives. There are some people that are now not talking with their relatives because of issues within the family. It might be assets, it might be different things. But those are nations within you that are fighting with each other. How did Jesus know that they'll have all these boundaries in those days? The Romans were in charge, but how did he know that these countries will be divided into different parts and people will be fighting? But he prophesied it. And that's why we need to take it serious. Number four, famine. People cannot eat, isn't it? And the first thing they say, oh, people cannot eat, they'll start taking pictures maybe of Africa and whatnot. Isn't it? Is that where the real famine is? Part of the famine, I was in the U.S. last year. Do you see the number of homeless people that are there? They lined all the streets of the West. They're on the streets. Go to U.K., they're also on the streets. That is also famine. That is also poverty. People do not have what to eat. Sometimes we're in a sheltered society, isn't it, we're a man. Everything seems rosy or anywhere else. But go out there. The famine has started. People don't have food. People don't know where the next meal is going to come from. Some of us have grown. When you're young, you had food, isn't it? It might not be as luxurious as that, but there was food that was coming in. You never went hungry. Now there are people that cannot even have one meal per day. Pestilence. All of us were here during COVID, isn't it? But we have forgotten about it. But COVID is child's play compared to what is coming. COVID was locked down. We were all locked down. I wouldn't have been preaching here. I would have been online, isn't it? But that is a foreshadow. One of the things that God does, he gives you a foreshadow of what is to come. It's just to prepare you. You know what I'm saying? It's just giving some signals. If you're around during the tribulation, believe me, it's going to be worse than this. It's going to be worse than COVID. The pestilence out there, the number of diseases that are on increase, things that you have never heard of, it's happening, isn't it? They'll say a different strain is coming, another strain is coming. Some of the names I've never heard about it. At one time, it was HIV, isn't it? Now they brought it under control, isn't it? It will continue. It will continue. Because that's what God said. The next one was what? Earthquakes. Earthquakes. Earthquakes, isn't it? What's going to happen to earthquakes? Are we hearing earthquakes? Right now, there's what they call the Ring of Fire. Have you ever heard of the Ring of Fire? From Indonesia to US, California side, that is where persistent earthquakes are taking place. But now they're more rampant. Turkey, Iran, different places. Even though the time in Oman, they had a small tremor, isn't it? Places that you never thought you're going to have earthquakes, they're increasing. But yet, those earthquakes are still a foreshadow of what is to come. And when we did birth, when we continue down, he said, and these are all beginning of sorrows. The pains of sorrows, the pain of tribulation. Women in the house, when you're giving birth, you know how it is. Hallelujah. Us men cannot feel the same way. I was lucky, I was privileged when my kids were born. I was inside the labor room, my wife. I saw the pain she was going through, the birth pains. And that's how it's described the tribulation will be like. Please, whatever reason, don't be around during the tribulation. Because it's going to be worse than this. And he goes further to explain what will happen during the tribulation. They will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. It's already happening. Northern Nigeria now, they're killing Christians where they can. Where there's an issue, you're a Christian, you're killed. Go to India. Not everybody is safe. Am I correct? You have become a prey. Am I correct? You're hunted. Tribulation is to be war. You'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Let me ask you something here. Have you noticed the shift in narration about being a Christian? People are beginning to hate Christians. Praise the Lord. Whether it's other religions, or the people that are not even Christians, they begin to point fingers at Christians. Are you the Holy One? Politically, they even begin to point fingers at Christians. People are beginning to hate people that are Christians. It's happening before our eyes. It's no longer popular to be a Christian in the West. And gradually it will increase. Men will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. In those last days, betrayal will be rife. And it also emphasizes many false prophets will also rise in the tribulation period. So what we're seeing now is going to be times two. It's going to be more than times two, because it's going to be up. If you're left here after the rapture, and lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Like the church in Ephesus, and many Christians have lost their first love. They have been so enamored by things about the world, isn't it? They have forgotten that they are Christians. We have forgotten that we're merely pilgrims on this earth. Our love is growing cold. You call someone to pray, he cannot even pray for 1 minute. He cannot pray for 5 minutes. Because our love has grown cold. We don't want anything. People say, I don't know this God anymore. Apostasy. I don't want to know this God. I don't want anything to do with him. Let's look inside our own hearts. The way you became born again, you're more fervent. Now things have gone cold. And you say, his life happened. But God saw this and God prophesied it. Hallelujah. Church, are we together? When someone is telling us what is happening, we should take note. Church here. A lot of men have gone cold. Numbers have dropped. After COVID, so many people have left church. People have left the care cells. Nobody is coming back to church. It has grown cold because of the love of the world. Now, when I spoke I said our days are numbered. I was looking at it from a corporate point of view as a church. Am I correct? Now, I'll bring it down to another level, a personal level. Can I have the next slide, please? What do you see here? What can you tell me? What do you see in this photo? Just describe the photo. Old man. Am I correct? I'll come back to that photo later, but it's old men that you see there, isn't it? And how do you know they're old? White beard, isn't it? Automatically a sign of age. Let's go to the next picture. Let's go to the next slide. Now, that is our own lifetime. Generally, they give birth to you, you attain adulthood by 18, hopefully you get married at 25 or thereabouts. These are just estimates, isn't it? 60 years old, you're getting to retirement. And what happens at the end? Death. So I want you to look at that picture. Where are you? I've talked about the end times, but now I've brought it down personally. Where are you in this? Schooling, working, retirement. I want it to sink in, because sometimes we're living life, we do not know that there's a timeline. It's numbered, there's a timeline. We don't have the whole time, physically. And the reason why death is there is because we sinned, isn't it? And God's word cannot go back. It's been appointed to man to die. If the Lord tarries, appointed to you to go back to the Son. But even in this, we still have signs, isn't it? You have signs. Hallelujah. What are the signs? What are the signs? Number one, physical deterioration. Some people don't want to hear that. Our bodies are no longer what they used to be. Simple. I was on holiday, and nowadays, what my mother used to do, now I'm doing for my son. I said, please, can you read this for me? Because my eyes are not as bright as they were before. So I said, Jonathan, please read this for me. And they'll start laughing. Thing has gone full circle. You go to sleep. Before you sleep, you don't wake up till morning. Now you have to go to the bathroom maybe twice, isn't it? Am I correct? Is anybody there with me, please? Or is it only me? The bones are weak. One thing I miss, I love to play basketball. But for the past 1.5 years, I have to slow down. I go there, I get injured, I don't recover till after 3 or 6 months. So wisdom tells me what? Pull back. Take it easy. I'm not strong as Aldo. Aldo plays, still plays. He has a special grace. But I can't anymore. I'm taking slowly. If I go there, I allow them to do the running, isn't it? I can shoot. Hallelujah. Because the body is telling me something else. When I went to get my glasses, the doctor said, oh, it was after 40 I got my glasses. And the guy said, I said, no, I don't want to wear glasses. He said, you're lucky. You have even had extra time. You have had extra time to enjoy without it. Reading, you know? But that is the cycle of life. Our bodies are not what they're meant to be. Because time has happened. It's God's plan. That's the way God designed us. If you go back to there, we're 70, 80, 90, people can get to 100, isn't it? It was just a rough estimate. Number two, career and retirement. And all of this I'm taking somewhere at the end. Career and retirement. Nowadays, you're more than 50, it's difficult to get work. Hallelujah. Nobody wants to work, hire somebody that's 50. They want somebody that's 20, full of energy. It's difficult. You start forgetting things, isn't it? And then that's the time you start saying, oh, it's high time I retire. And that's what he's put it, everybody puts retirement age at 60, isn't it? Some are already retired. Some are getting there. The third one, signs of the personal end times. It's a thing of joy, but it's also something that you have to consider. When you attend your children's wedding, hallelujah, your children are getting married. As parents, all of us are looking forward to that, isn't it? Them growing, them be better than us. But what's that telling me about me? My time is ending, isn't it? I'm ushering them, and my time is passing. The fourth one, attendance at funerals. When I was young, I never did attend a funeral unless it was a close family friend, isn't it? But nowadays, you're seeing people same age, slightly older than you, people you know are passing away. Are you there with me? The last 1 year, the number of people that I've known have passed away has been. It kept me thinking. This is life. Some for no reason. Some can be an accident. Some can be a short illness. Different things. People pass. And it gets more as you get older. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, as I've explained all of this, what is our take home? Can someone read Colossians 1? I'll read Colossians 1, 9 to 10 for a quick time. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. What I'm teaching today is either it's fearful to you or encouraging. Whatever I've spoken about the end times that Jesus said is either you're afraid of the end times or it's encouraging to you, you're going to go and be with your Savior. So you need to check that. And the reason why I took time to explain to you is for you not to think that every disaster means it's the end of the world now. When COVID happened, people said it was the end of the world, isn't it? There's a lot of things that were going out there. I felt in my spirit it was not the end because of what I read in the Word of God. I felt there was still some more time. If not for anything, I felt at that time. If not for anything, I can remember when they were cremating people, the crematoriums were too many in India, and people were being burnt on the street, isn't it? I said, it's not God's will that man will perish. How many unbelievers are in India, for example? Let's just speak India, for example. 1.1 billion Hindus. It's not God's wish that those ones should perish. So some people will come back and tell you the end of the world is tomorrow. Anybody that tells you he knows when the rapture is coming is a false prophet. But God has given us signs. You have to walk carefully in wisdom in these days. And you have to set your priorities. Because what you set your priorities is what will drive you and activities of your life, isn't it? That's why I read Colossians 1, 9 to 10. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing the knowledge of God. So take on number one. All of this is coming down to this moment. One, make it right with God. You need to make it right with God. That's number one. Everything I've said. And how do I make it right with God? Spend quality time in the Word of God and understand it for yourself. If you're spending 30 minutes, spend 1 hour. If you're spending 1 hour, spend 2 hours. If you're spending 4 hours, spend 8 hours. This is not a time to be far away. This is a time to be with God. Are you with me? If you don't have the Word of God, the false prophet will pull you apart from him. You accept every doctrine that comes in these end times. You will not know what God is telling you. Second point, spend time in worship. Worship. Sister Sophie, God bless you for leading us today. It was about holiness. A lot of it is centered around holiness. Worship is not only, the praise and worship cannot even bring you to the place of God. They can try, but it's from within. It's from the Holy Spirit that's helping to worship the Lord. It doesn't have to be in church. It can be when you're walking. It can be when you're exercising. It can be in the office. Spend time in worship with God. Seek His guidance and wisdom in everything. Lord, what shall we do? Should I pursue or should I not pursue? Isn't it? Is that what David said? Seek wisdom, seek counsel. Anything that happens now, seek wisdom, seek counsel. Don't believe what man says. Don't believe what I said, if you don't want to. But go back to the word and seek God's word. But that can only be made there. Making it right with God. God has asked us something in the Great Commission. We need to bring souls in. These end times, we need to bring souls in. I mentioned 1.1 billion in India. Same number, maybe 1.2 billion in China. 200 million in Indonesia. 100 million in Nigeria. Another maybe 150 million in the Gulf region. All do not know Christ. What are we doing about it? We're okay to be in church. But that's not what God has called us to. He asks us to go make disciples, isn't it? That's what we're asked to do. I'll throw a challenge. How many people have you led to the Lord this year? That is the only way you'll make it right with God. That's what God has asked us. Last point that I'm making right to God, you also need to give your life to God. I want to assume everybody has given his life to Christ. If you have not given your life to Christ, please, this is the time. God is calling you. Give your life to Christ. Believe me, as God said, it will happen. Rapture will come. Tribulation will come. And you either be on the right side, you don't want to be on the wrong side. Hallelujah. So that's a take one. Make it right with God. Number two, make it right with yourself. Someone's going to ask me, how can I make it right to myself? Are we two pieces? Am I bipolar? Spend time introspectively. Soul searching. Are there any sinful habits in me that I need to be corrected? Promise of the week was make peace with all men, isn't it? And be holy. Why did that come up? Peace with all men. But before you can make peace with all men, you have to start with yourself. Is there any sin inside me? Is there anything I'm doing? Sin has been normalized in our lives that sometimes we don't even know why we're sinning. Are you with me? Things that were considered as sin is no longer considered as sin. So it has become normalized. But it's only when you go deeply searching yourself, God will be able to tell you. Are you with me? Spend time exercising your spiritual gifts. Some of us have gifts. We're hiding it. Some of us can sing. We're not in the choir. Some of us can teach. We're not in Friday school. Some of us are called to be evangelists. We're not in outreach team. You need to exercise your God-given gifts. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. That's making it right with yourself. The master cannot give you a talent that you will not apply. You go to office and they give you a KPI. You have to apply yourself, isn't it? Another part about making right with yourself. I showed you the timeline, isn't it? Develop healthy habits. Healthy habits. Eating healthy. Some people don't want to hear that. Exercise. Further, people don't want to hear more. Are you with me? You're making it right with yourself. If you're able to keep your body as a temple of God, that means you need to watch what goes inside you. I need to be able to maintain it. God cannot give you something and you will not maintain it. Another thing also, you need to spend time in personal development and strategic thinking. The way the master gave the talent to them, some buried it. Some did not develop it. What has God entrusted into your hand? What have you developed it? Has God given you a ministry? How far have you gone with it? Has God given you a calling? What have you developed? I was doing a media appraisal for my team. And we had the checks and everything. And I asked the question, I said, how have you developed yourself? And they said, no, I went for this training and this and this. I said, I sent you for that training. What have you done to develop yourself? And that's the question I've asked you. What have you done to develop yourself as an individual, even as a leader? Some of us are even leaders in our home. What have you done to develop yourself? What books have you read? What training have you attended? God does not expect us to just remain where we are. We need to develop ourselves for His greater good. That's making it right with yourself. How people are making notes, the changes that you need to make towards these end times. Number three, make it right with man. Make it right with man. Be at all peace, as Brother Rajesh said, be at peace with all men. That's what God seeks you to do. And the peace starts within the family. This year, I don't know what happened. I just felt I just needed to see people I haven't seen. People that are old. People that do not have much time to live, isn't it? Just to touch base with them. Make it right with them. Say, hello, how are you? How many of you have old folks back home? When last did you call them? Pick up the phone and call them. It's family, isn't it? Extended. Sometimes we're all in our own world. Next slide, please. For you, I see that is family. Hallelujah. Part of my holiday, I had to go and see my maternal uncles. 80 plus years, I might not see them again. Don't worry, the beard still has a long way to become white. Let's go to the next slide. Next slide, please. No, not before the conclusion. Just go back to make it right with man. Yeah. Spend time seeking counsel with elders, with people that you do not know, people that God has brought in your sphere of influence. Anybody that has offended you, make it right with him. Extend the hand of fellowship. Be at peace with everybody. Believe me, there's a lot of issues in families. Hallelujah. Have you tried to solve them out? Some have not even spoken for years. Some have not even said hello. It's a call. It's a call wherever you are. Make it right. Not only family. Because at the end of the day, if you don't make it right, you will not see God. It's so much that even you said, if you're giving an offering, if someone offends you, go back and make it right with him. In these last days, this is what we need to do. Now, if you notice, I showed you the diagram of the end times. And I showed you that of man's timeline, isn't it? That's a personal level. Now, part of yourself. Yes, thank you, sister. We're at the church age. 70 years can hit you any timeline. The Lord can call you at any time, even before the rapture. So my question is, what legacy have you passed on? What transition have you given? What mentoring have you given? In your ministry that God has called you to do, who is to take over for you? Who's supposed to fill in your shoes? I'll tell you something. If God has entrusted something in your hand and you don't have a successor, you have failed. Are you with me? If God has entrusted something in your hands and you don't have a successor, you have failed. Even Jesus Christ, when he came down, he had 3 years for his what? For his ministry. But he poured what he had, he could, into who? The disciples. Imagine Jesus coming in and just doing whatever he wanted to do and go back. But he called 12 so that when he's gone, they can carry on the work. And the 12 carried on more than that. Are you with me? They multiplied, and that's why we have the gospel today. Some of us, we go to work, we don't want to train the person that's next to us because we're afraid our job will be taken, isn't it? I see that happening a lot of times in the offices. Everybody will keep his information to himself. I don't want to share it because I don't want to be indispensable, isn't it? Just yesterday, I gave one of my engineers a technical authority level below me. And I was congratulating him. I said, if I'm not here, you can take charge. And he said, small me? I said, no, I don't plan to be here forever. I can leave at any time. I need to develop you as soon as possible to take over from me. And he was shocked. I said, no, that's it. I'm not afraid of my position because I know God is going to give me something else if I need to move. But you have to train somebody. You're a musician, bring another musician. Guitarist, bring another guitarist. Drummer, bring another drummer. Friday school teacher, bring another Friday school teacher. Mentor the next generation. Are you with me? Replicate what you know. That's the way the gospel will grow. One of the things also that we don't like hearing, because we might leave before rapture is, isn't it? Update your papers and your will. If you're not here today, your family should be at peace. We don't like talking about it in church, but something that's very important. Because you don't know what time God will call you in that timeline. You don't know what time God will call you at that timeline. I was just hearing yesterday, the day before yesterday, I heard a news, a family friend. He's a reverend. His wife went to see her sister in the hospital. And when she went to her sister, she went and saw her sister on oxygen and whatnot in the hospital. And she collapsed and passed on. Visit to see her sister. She entered shock, collapsed, and died. I want you to understand this. I want you to think about it. She actually went to visit someone, her relative, but it was her own time. The relative is still alive in the hospital, but she has gone. Hallelujah. Are you with me? And I'm just trying to give you the impact of the importance. of the times and season we're in. I'll conclude by reading Psalm 90, verse 10 to 12. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. This was David speaking. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of freedom. Of wisdom, sorry. A heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days. Make it right with God. Make it right with yourself. Make it right with man. And the conclusion I'll tell you. There are graveyards, okay, full of churches and people who thought they had more time. Okay? There. But what I'm telling you this today is our days are numbered. Take action. Let's just rise up and pray. We'll reach the end of the message. Hallelujah. We're just going to a point of prayer. I'll just leave you at this moment. Just pray with God. Just search yourself. As my days are numbered, what do I need to make right? Maybe something has been nudged you as the message was going on. Ask the Lord to give you the boldness to make it right. Say, Lord, what you have spoken to me, Lord, I will obey. Because I know that this word has gone forth and is convicting someone out there. Whether to make it right with him, or yourself, or with man. Perhaps you have not been walking the way the Lord wants you to walk with him. Ask him to restore you. Maybe you have backslidden. Say, Lord, bring me back to fellowship with you. Let me walk with you. Let me abide with you in this season, in these end times. Let me be closer to you. Perhaps God has asked you to go and make it right with a different person. Say, Lord, give me the boldness to seek forgiveness and to give forgiveness. Maybe there's a particular sin that has been plaguing you. Commit yourself and say, Lord, no more. I've given this up. Above the Lord, just make a commitment that if rapture should happen now, you'll be counted among the raptured. The tribulation will not meet you. Hallelujah. 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 The Lord is listening to you. Ask for grace. Ask for help. We cannot do it in our own might. We need the help of God through the Holy Spirit. Ask the Lord to help us as we have made this commitment to him this afternoon. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Father, Lord, we say thank you. Thank you, Father, Lord, because our lives are in your hands. Our days are numbered in your hands. Our timelines in your hands. Thank you for this message they have brought to us. Help us to live circumspectly. Help us to live and abide by your own terms, Father Lord, in these end times. My prayer, Father Lord, is that everybody that has heard this message, Father Lord, will be found with you on the last day in the mighty name of Jesus. That these words will not fall to the ground, that there will be a change for it in the mighty name of Jesus. And as heaven has registered it, so shall it be. Thank you, Father Lord. Lord, even as we depart today, I pray that your presence abides with us. It goes with us and carries on this message with us, Father Lord. Continue to convict us about what we need to do at every point in time so that our lives will be aligned with you. Take the glory, Father Lord. Take the adoration. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Before we share the grace, first-timers, please just wait outside on me, all right? Under the canopy, our welcoming team will come and meet you, get to know more about you, and interact with you and let you know more about the church. Let's share the grace in fellowship. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon.